Praise the Lord. I told Brother Derek I better not leave because I don't know that song. But I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And it's good to be back in New Zealand again to see so many familiar faces. Although I don't remember as many of your names, but maybe that's got to do with my age. But I appreciate Brother Derek asking us to be here during your convention. I've always appreciated the stand that Brother Derek has for the Word. And did you enjoy this morning's message? If you want to hear some more, he's going to be preaching at our convention in July this year. So come on over and enjoy some more of it. But I would like to ask you a favor tonight, though. Please let me be myself. I don't expect me to be a Ron Spencer. I'm glad Brother Derek already said ministries are different, but Brother Branham said, be yourself. He said, people will think more of you and God will think more of you. So you're going to let me be myself? Good. I trust that the Lord will help me to say something tonight that will just cause you to anchor you on the Word and maybe make you love the Lord Jesus just a little bit more. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start with verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. You know what I'm going to be speaking about. I can't tell you anything new. Though you know them, and be established in the present truth. One more scripture in Jude. I want to just tie this together. Jude only has one chapter. We'll read from verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Shall we just have a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we've enjoyed all the singing. We've come here to worship you, Lord. And now, Lord, we come to this part where we have opened the Word and we've read from your Word. Only you can bring us the meaning of it. And I'm committing my life into your hand. I'm committing this congregation into your care. And I'm asking, Lord, that you will take this unworthy vessel and speak to your people. And may, Lord, you hear through them the words of eternal life. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want you to notice right to begin with that both Peter and Jude are writing to believers. And to people that are established in the word of the hour. And so both Peter and Jude are warning believers not to get slack. not to get slack, but to stay on fire for God. Peter said, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you have all these virtues sealed in you, we've been preaching on the stature of the perfect man back home, and I'm not going to go in that direction by just using the scripture. But he said, I want to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established. I want you to notice what he's speaking about, the present truth. So Jude comes behind and sounds a real warning to the believers. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. For there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men. This is the scripture. This is what the Bible says. Ungodly men. And he said, I want to remind you how that God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage, afterward destroyed the same group that believed not. What Jude was saying, don't put your trust in past experience. Don't put all your trust in, well, I come to the message 40 years ago or 20 years ago. Don't put your trust in past experience. In other words, like we heard this morning, what is your life presently producing? You see, we know that Israel started out under a prophet. So did we. They started out under Moses. They applied the token. They followed the pillar of fire, but they didn't continue. They got sidetracked. And so Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That is one of the problems today. You know, people, they're starting to get lax. Don't worry. I'm not here to scold you. I'm just here to encourage you. But you see, people, that's one of the problems today in the message. People are getting lax. It's not that they don't believe the message. It's not that they would deny the message. But many have just gotten lax. They're not on fire for God. They're not contending like for the present truth like we did when we first got saved. Amen. The prayer meetings and the you know, getting into the word and people talking. Now they're usually talking about one another instead of talking about the word of God. So may God help us and set us on fire one more time. Amen. We need an up-to-date experience with God. Amen. Because Jude warned, whenever God sends his word, whenever God sends his truth, Satan also sends his lieutenants. Satan is right among the believers. And I want to say this, not all the preachers around the message are sent of God. Amen. Like Jude said, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, that just means filthiness, unbridled lust, and extreme grace. Turning the grace of God into extreme grace, denying the only Lord God, and God is the Word. Let me just say it like this. Anything that denies or belittles the Word is our enemy. Anyone that mixes anything with his own ideas with this Word, anybody that mixes or takes away or adds, that is our enemy. Amen. We've got to contend. When you get ready to fight, you roll up your sleeves. You know, you're standing ready. So we've got to contend for what God has given us. Contend to keep what we've already got. Brother Branham talked about Israel, but the scripture said, God said to Israel, I have given you the land. But they had to fight for every inch of ground that they gained. Amen. God gave us his word. In that word, there's the promise of the Holy Ghost. In that word, there's the promise of deliverance. In that word, there's the promise of divine healing. In that promise, and we're living right in the age of adoption. Amen. In that age, in that word, there's promise of a body change. Amen. But we have to fight for every promise that God has given us. The prophet of God told us here in the marriage of the Lamb, he said Israel was promised the promised land, but they had to fight for every inch of it. The land was there, but God gave it to them, but they must fight for it. That's the same way about divine healing, he said. You've got the power. God's got the power to heal you. How many believe that? God's got the power to heal you if you've got the courage to accept it. He will do it. But you have to fight for every inch of your way. Then Brother Bam said, I've been behind this pulpit now for 31 years, and every inch has been a fight. Sometimes we think Brother Bam just had it so easy. He said, every inch has been a fight. Certainly, we must fight if we must reign. So Jude exhorts the church to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I want to say this. We are not struggling for more truth. We are not struggling for more revelation. Brother Branham said, I am persuaded that we have the truth. So we're not fighting for more revelation. God has already given us the truth. Brother Branham said, I'm persuaded that we have the truth. But what we are contending for is what has been delivered to us. We are contending for the present truth. All of God's word is the truth. I want to make some statements here tonight, so I hope you're listening. All of God's word is the truth. Whether it's past, or whether it's future, whether it's already been fulfilled, whether it's happening right now, or whether it's prophecy that must come to pass, it's all the truth. It is the truth that God told Noah, build an ark, that God would destroy the world, the whole world. It is the truth, but that's not the present truth. That's not the present truth. It is the truth that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush and said, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. But that's not present truth. That's not the word for this day. We are contending for the present truth. Amen. So it's the truth that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, you'll bear a son, you'll call his name Jesus. But that's not the present truth. Amen. That scripture has already been fulfilled. You understand where I'm coming from? And God allots his word to every age, and to recognize the word for that season that you live in, that's where the life is. Amen. Every age, God allots his word. And to recognize the word for that time you're living in, that's where the life is. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God. Then in verse 14, John brings it down to the present tense. And he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then in verse 4 he says, in him, when the Word was made flesh, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Amen. The life is always in the present stage. Like, is anybody, do you grow any wheat here in this country? All right. Well, like when you grow, I've got too much hay on my fork, and I'm worried about getting through before midnight. Don't worry, I won't keep you that long. But in a grain of wheat, when you plant the seed and it germinates, it brings up two leaves. That's where the life is at the present stage. Then it grows in the summer into a stalk, and it pollinates. Then that's where the life is. In the fall time and harvest time, all the life has gone out of the blade, amen, out of the stalk, and even out of the chaff. As the chaff is now dead, the leaf is dead, everything is dead. The only place where there's any life is in the grain itself. And that's where we are at spiritually tonight. Amen. All the life that was in the Reformation, all the life that was in Luther's message, Wesley's message, and Pentecost, is all gone into the seed now. And that seed word now is made flesh in the bride of Jesus Christ. It can't go any further. It's back to the original. Like when Jesus was on earth, who was the Word made flesh, he said in John 8, except you believe that I am, and you preachers know that when it says I am he, that he is written in italics to make it more readable, what he is saying, except you believe that I am the I am, except you believe that I am the same God that met Moses, you'll die in your unbelief. Amen. Abraham, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. And they said, you're not even 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. When God met, came down in Exodus 3, I believe it was, and he came down to speak to Moses, and he says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, I'm sending you to deliver the people. And Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? Who am I going to say sent me? And he said, I am. You tell them that I am sent you. This shall be my name as for memorial. This shall be my name, the I am, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said in God's only provided place of worship, the name is in the Word because He is the Word. Amen. What is it then? The Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I am. Wherever two or three are gathered together in the present truth, I am walks among us. I felt the I am this morning as the word was going forth. I felt the I am here when we were worshiping. When they were singing. Amen. Wherever two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. Now, Brother Branham said, man is always thanking God for what he has done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring or missing what he is presently doing. I believe the Bible is God's Word. I believe the Bible is all truth. It is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. But the written Word by itself, does not completely make God known. How many are following me so far? It's all the truth. The written word is God's word. It's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. But the written word by itself does not completely make God known. The word must be demonstrated in human flesh. Amen. That is what made Brother Branham's ministry so powerful, because it was God demonstrated in human flesh. It was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. And that's the only way that we can understand God, when God is manifested in human flesh. The prophet of God said in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, God wanted... I've got a lot of quotes here, but I think I'm just going to maybe just speak some of them. All right? Brother Ram said, God wanted to reveal himself. Maybe I'll pick it up a little bit. I never asked the pastor whether I could read any quotes or not. But I take it for granted that I can. Brother Branham said, God wanted to reveal himself to people, but he couldn't do it as the great Jehovah who covered all time and space. He couldn't. He said it was too great to ever reveal to people because it would be too mysterious. Amen. So he said the only way he could do it is to become one of us. Hallelujah. All that was in God, brother prophet said, you know, we take these quotes so familiar, just for granted. All that was in God was poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ was poured into his many-membered bride. Now the prophet said, the fullness of the Godhead, it dwells bodily in the believer. That's why we need one another. We need one another. We can't do without one another because you, Brother Murray, you don't have the fullness of the Godhead in you. I don't have the fullness of the Godhead, but we got a lick. We need one another. Hallelujah. So Christ was the beginning of the God race on earth here. Amen. The scripture said in Romans that he was the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus say in John 14, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. it's a greater thing, watch this now, it's a greater thing for him, the hour that we're living, how many would have loved to have been with him when he walked the shores of Galilee? I would have just loved to have been John, you know, who laid his head on his Christ's bosom and Christ whispered secrets to him. I would have loved to have been there, but did you know that it's greater? What, this is a further part of the threefold plan of God right now. It is greater having Christ in you than just to have him with you. Hallelujah. It's a further advancement of God's great threefold plan. Not just to become flesh in his Son, but to indwell us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. God poured out his Spirit and licks of fire sat upon each of them. The very life that had been in Jesus Christ, been demonstrated in Jesus Christ, was now being demonstrated or made flesh in the disciples. That's the only way that we as mortals can understand God, when God's life is demonstrated in human flesh. Let me read a little quote here to you. Statue of a perfect man. Stephen spoke about Solomon's building him a temple. The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. For heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the place of my rest? But a body hast thou prepared me. Amen. There you are. A body hast thou prepared me. God dwells in the stature of a man, reflecting himself into that being, perfect worship. God in us, being his tabernacle, manifesting God. Then in the stature of a perfect man, Brother Bam said, in the person of the Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've got all these virtues sealed in you, then God lives in the tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when you recognize the word for your day, how many have recognized the word for your day? When you recognize the word for your day, and when you are born of the incorruptible seed word of God for this hour by the Holy Spirit, you become the word made flesh in your day. That's what all hell is against. You recognizing that you are part of the word made flesh. You know, the devil doesn't mind so much. You can recognize that Jesus was the word made flesh. You can recognize that he was Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled. Now that the prophet has come and gone, the devil doesn't even mind you recognizing that Brother Branham was Malachi 4. Amen. That he was Malachi 4 made flesh. That he fulfilled Luke 17. 30. He doesn't even mind you quoting Revelation 10:7. As long as you don't see yourself as part of Revelation 10. To me, I see three different characters in Revelation 10. The mighty angel coming with an open book. The seventh angel who catches the thoughts of God. And John, who is the type of the bride, who was told to take the book and eat the book because you must prophesy again. The devil doesn't mind you just recognizing something that has been already in the past, as long as you don't see what he, as you don't recognize what's happening right now, that you are part of Revelation 10. Amen. That you are part of Malachi 4. Did you know that you were mentioned in Malachi? Woo! I didn't see that set. He doesn't mind you recognizing Revelation in Malachi 4 as long as you don't see yourself in Malachi 4. Did you know that you were mentioned in Malachi 4 before Brother Branham? I didn't expect a lot of men on that one. He will send you, Elijah. Elijah is mentioned once. You are mentioned twice. He'll send you, Elijah, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Amen and amen. See, we need to recognize the word that's the present truth. The real test has never been just accepting the Bible, just believing the written word. The real test has always been recognizing the word made flesh, the present truth manifested in human flesh. If you don't see this yet, you will by the time I finish. Hallelujah. You know, the Jews, they had great respect for the scrolls, for Moses' writings. I'm told that, you know, they didn't have the Bible in book form like we do now. They had it in scroll form. I am told that some of those Jews were so educated in the written word that they could take a pen and poke it through the scroll and without opening it up tell you every jot and tittle that it struck. Do you know the word that well? Do you know the message that well? So they had great respect for the scrolls and for the writings of Moses. Yet they stoned the prophets that came with the word for their day. Yes, they the ones that when the word was made flesh that came with thus saith the Lord, they stoned them. What about in Acts 7 when Stephen in front of the Sanhedrin council was preaching and he said, "Which one of the prophets have your fathers not stoned and persecuted?" And then he gets anointed. He said, "You stiff neck, in heart and ear, you do always resist the written word." No, you always resist the Holy Ghost. Amen. God in man. That's what they were resisting. They have great respect for the written word, but you do always resist the Holy Ghost when a man comes with thus saith the Lord. That's what they resist. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, who was the fullness of the word made flesh, he found the Jews fighting one another over the exact interpretation of the written word. Is that right?
Yes.
They were fighting over this meant that and that meant that. Yet when the very word they claimed to believe was made flesh, they agreed together against the word made flesh. And that's exactly what we're encountering today. Amen. Denominations, they fight one another, but when they find out they'll get together to fight the bride, then they agree together to fight the bride. Yet Jesus took the same Bible that they were reading, in Luke, the 4th chapter, as his custom was, the Bible said. You know, some customs are good. Going to church is a good custom. He had a custom. He'd go to church and he stood up for to read the word. And there was they just happened to give him the book of Isaiah that was predestinated by God. He didn't stumble around like I am this evening. He didn't, you know, wondering about where I'm going to find this. He just turned to the place that was written of him. Yes. And he read and he found the place that was written of him. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to set at liberty them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he hands the book back to the priest and sits down. What if I sat down now? And gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. Brother Branham said, talking about this scripture, Brother Branham said, "You would think, after he said, 'The Spirit of the Lord upon me, to bind their broken hearts, to heal the sick.' Now you would think with such an anointing on him that was prophesied 800 years before that it would come, you would see with that kind of anointing, the full blessing of the anointing upon him, that he would run all over the building and scream and holler." You see, we need to understand what anointing is. You think it's a woo-hoo, I'm anointed, hallelujah. He said, you think with such an anointing on him that he would scream and holler and run all over the building. But the Bible said he laid down the scroll and sat down, and gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. And then he began to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled." He knew exactly his place in the Word of God. He knew what what he knew his position in the scripture. That's why he could say, this day is this scripture fulfilled. He knew what was to take place in that day. He was the Word made flesh. And the bride is beginning to recognize her place. God always uses man to make his word known and reveals his word through man. That's his plan. Not just the written word. Not just the written word, but God uses men. He only works on earth through the members of his body, his agent. Let me just read a little quote here from Spoken Words, the original seed. By now I shouldn't be so nervous. Okay, thank you. You can only serve God. Then he says it again. You can only serve God as on earth as God's servants that are sent by divine inspiration interprets that word to you. He's talking, of course, of messengers, prophets. Then he reads and he quotes the scripture in Luke 10. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. That proves that God speaks his message through his servants, always has. That's right. You see, it's more than just reading the Bible. Now watch. God's law of reproduction. Remember, after its time, the seed of Christ, the word, must come through his body. Are you getting tired? He said. All right, now just a minute. He said, I want to grind this down real good. The seed of Christ must, M-U-S-T, spell it out, must come through his body, not a denomination, but through the seed word, must come through. Remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through the body. How does an apple seed come? Through the body. Amen. Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. Alright, so I just want to show you that in the scripture. Brother Ram says the seed of God must come through the body. God showed that pattern in the book of Acts. I won't turn to the scripture, I just take for granted if you all know the Bible. In Acts 8:8, the Ethiopian eunuch who was under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, was returning from the convention. He had been to a convention at Jerusalem, and he was returning from the convention, and he was reading Isaiah's prophecy of Christ. What was he reading? How many of you brothers know what he's reading? He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened out his mouth. Amen. What was he reading? He was reading the message of the hour. He was reading the word for that day. He was reading the scripture, reading the message of the hour. God sent Philip, who was at a revival meeting, to go to speak to one man. Because that one man had a seed gene of God in him, and it had to be quickened by another member of the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, join yourself to the chariot. And he asked this Ethiopian eunuch, now I want you to notice something. This Ethiopian eunuch was probably more educated than Philip was. He was reading, he had no problem reading. So it takes more than just reading. Amen. He said, understandest thou what thou readest? And I wish that every person in New Zealand, all the preachers would answer the same way. I'm not talking about the message people. I'm talking about, you know, preachers that claim to be servants of God. How can I? This man said, how can I understand except some man should guide me? Hallelujah. The eunuch believed the Bible. Are you with me? The eunuch believed the Bible. That was not enough. Anybody can take the Bible in a hotel room, because they always have a Bible now. Anybody can take the Bible and read Malachi 4, read Luke 17:30, read Revelation 10, but they'll never get the revelation of the Word by just reading it. How many are following what I'm saying? Amen. Prophecy without the interpretation has no life in it. I said prophecy without the interpretation has no life in it. How can I, except some man should guide me? What am I saying? It took someone that had the revelation of the present truth to take the word and make it live. Philip began at the same scripture. It began at the same scripture where he didn't understand, and preached unto him Jesus. Wherever people are hung up, if it's Acts 2:38, go use that same scripture. If it's marriage and divorce, wherever, start right there. That's where he began, at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And you cannot preach Jesus without preaching water baptism, because we know that he preached water baptism, because when they came to a body of water, the eunuch said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And they went, both of them. He didn't sprinkle a little water on his head. They went, both of them, into the water, and he baptized him. Hallelujah. Another, what I'm pointing out here is that it took a member of the body of Christ. The seed comes only through the body. So, another example is Acts 10. Cornelius, the centurion, give much alms to the people, remember? And an angel appears to him. You remember the scripture? And nowadays, if an angel would come to any of us, we wouldn't send for Peter. We would say, "An angel appeared to me. I'll have you know." But the angel said, "Send for Peter. He'll tell you words." Why couldn't the angel tell him? The angel is not part of the body. Peter was part of the body. And so then when Peter came and started preaching, amen, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost came on them that heard the word. Have you ever noticed what he preached on? He was preaching on present truth. He was preaching on a prophet. He was preaching about John the Baptist and how Jesus went about doing good. And as he yet spake on the present truth, the Holy Ghost came on them that heard the word. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. You don't have to wait till the end of the service to receive the Holy Ghost. You can receive the Holy Ghost as the word is being preached. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And it's exactly the same thing today. It's the word for this age that produces the new birth. It's the word for this age that produces the token. Luther's message will not produce the new birth today. Wesley's message won't. Amen. Pentecost won't. None of them will produce the token. Let me go one step further. Neither is there any life in the first and second Paul. It won't bring life today. Amen. The first pull. If I had a board here, I would draw something. Brother Manson, you're a triune being. The outside, flesh. Inside of that is spirit. Inside of the inside is the soul. Alright? The first pull contacted the flesh.
Amen.
Healing. Outer realm. The second pull contacted the spirit realm, discernment. You're right. The third pull contacts the third realm, the soul, and that's where the new birth takes place. Like in the tabernacle in the wilderness, you remember that Noah, Moses was told to put Aaron's rod in the most holy place. When he took that rod through the outer court, it was a dead, dry, predestinated almond rod. It went through the inner court, it was still a dead, dry, predestinated almond rod, but in the most holy place, in the holiest of holies, it budded, blossomed, and brought forth fruit. Hallelujah. It's in the third realm where life is. The life today is in the third pole. If you hear me, the life today, under the opening of the Word, under the opening of the seven seals, Brother Branham said, in seeth not air with a shock, he said, but at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full Word is to be born into manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in full strength as it was when He was here on earth. Brother Branham says also in the seat that air of the shuck, he said, now we are promised a full square meal, a full seven-course menu, seven-course, not six, full seven-course menu, for all seven seals are open, and everything is ready for the Word of God for those that can receive. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive? Hallelujah. So, at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full Word was to be born into manifestation again. The fullness of the Word is here. And it takes the full Word as revealed today to produce the new birth. To produce the token. Too many times I find people like the Ethiopian eunuch. They can read the Bible. They can read the books. They can even listen to tapes, but it's just information. It's just information. But they still have no revelation of the scriptures that have been fulfilled today. I believe that it still takes someone with the revelation of the present truth to take the same scripture, to take the same quotes, to take the same message and preach Jesus Christ, the living Word, the revealed Word of God. What an opportunity we have today in this age to preach the full counsel of God. Brother Branham said in Invisible Union, he said if God would have asked him before the foundation of the world, God would have laid out the whole program to me and said, I want you to go and preach. What age would you desire to go on earth to preach? I would have chose this age. We complain about this age, and we grumble and complain. Brother Branham said, if God would have laid out the whole program for him, said, what age do you want to go and preach? He said, I would have chosen this age. Because I think this is the golden age. I certainly would have loved to have been here during his time on earth, his visit on earth, but still, right now, it's a greater time. This is a greater time than when Jesus was here on earth. I didn't say it, your prophet said that. Even now, it's a greater time because it's the time when he's coming to take the people that he's redeemed, nearing the resurrection. I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. Nearing the resurrection when the redeemed will come forth. What a glorious opportunity we have to speak to a dying people. A great time. So, I believe we need a revelation of what a great time we're living in. Amen. We have an opportunity to share a life-giving message, a life-changing message, a body-changing message. And I'm going to get back to that after a bit. But I find, as I travel around the world, the devil is taking the same message, this same message, and pointing people in another direction, pointing people to what has been, to a healing revival or revival in the future, to a third pull in the future. Don't get quiet on me. To a third pull in the future that will bring rapture and faith in the future. Hybriding the Word of God, mixing their own ideas with it, and destroying the very promise of this age, the present truth. Brother Branham said, more and more I am made to believe that people are not getting to Christ. Then he says, I look and preach across the nation. I watch people. I am fully persuaded that people are not getting to Christ. I believe the enemy has thrown this hindrance, because the reason I believe this, he's not the object that they're being pointed to. Now we can no longer just blame the denominations. We've had some finger pointing among us too. To this group, to that camp, to this person. The reason is that he's not the object they're being pointed to. They have either been pointed to a dogma or a doctrine or a party or an experience or a sensation, something like that, instead of being pointed to Christ the Word. That's why I think people are resting their eternal destination on some dogma or some sensation, like, say, I danced in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I felt fire run all over me. So did Brother Ron here. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. You know, all those things can be impersonated by the devil, Brother Branson. There's just one thing that he cannot impersonate. That is the Word. Hallelujah. So, pointing people to another direction, not being pointed to Christ. I've traveled, the Lord has allowed me to travel. I never, Brother Derek, I never thought when I got saved that I was going to go anywhere. God's allowed me to go around the world. But I see people being pointed to this camp, to that camp, to this preacher, to that preacher. Amen. Some pointing to themselves. You got to listen to my tapes. And I'm not saying that about me. And preaching, can I just say what I've, some of the things I got jotted down here? Amen. Preaching against the fulfillment of Revelation 10. Let me just say this. You take Revelation 10 out of this message and you don't have a message left. People preaching against Revelation 10, saying the seven thunders have not yet been revealed, the seventh seal is not open. Brother Van said, all seven seals are open and ready. Oh, he does make an exception for those that can receive. I'm one of them that can receive. Taking the word of God for this day and interpreting it according to their own understanding. Did you know the serpent did the same thing in the Garden of Eden? Sure. He took the message, took the very present truth. The serpent took the message of the hour. Amen. God's word for that day and misinterpreted it to Eve. Brother Ramsey, there are three things we must not do. I'm not telling you nothing that you don't know, but I'm bringing you to remembrance. We must not misinterpret the word. We must not misplace the word. And we must not dislocate the word. To make Jesus Christ one of three is to misinterpret the word. What about one of two? It's still to misinterpret the word, isn't it? To take the promise of Revelation, listen to me now. To take the promise of Revelation 10, the bride's revival, and put it over to the Jews is to dislocate God's word. To try to paint a picture of a Pentecostal revival with the emphasis on the first and second pull is to misplace the word of God for today. Pentecost has already shown its color. Pentecost was still under the man anointing. It was part of the Reformation. You want a quote for that? All right, I just happen to have it with me. Rapture message. Our last great Reformation, man age, our last great Reformation was Pentecost. And today we are moving from that. That was 1965. I hope we've moved quite a ways. Today we are moving from that. The Pentecostal message won't mix with this. Because it's another day. It's all the Word of God, but it's building like feet, arms coming up. It's forming a bride for the rapture. Don't displace those people back there. They live by their message. He's talking about the Pentecostals, the Reformation people. They live by their message. But that's not the message today. So don't mix it. Don't try to mix it. You know, the reason that I believe the devil is fighting the present truth today is because this time, under the fulfillment of the word for this hour, under the present truth for this day, this message will produce a body change. Only this message. Let me just go through a few steps here. When you first believe the message, first, when you first took the message, it changed your mind. Is that right? It changed your attitude. You had a change of heart. You had a new spirit. And it brought about a change of headship. Right? Finally, it will produce a body change. Let me just show you what I'm looking at here. Whatever was preached, whatever the reformers preached, was produced in the people. When Luther preached justification, the people were justified. When Wesley preached holiness, sanctification, the people dressed different. It produced, the message was produced in them. Right? When the Pentecostals preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Cobb, I didn't even know you were here. God bless you. I'm very easily distracted. Luther preached justification, the people were justified. Wesley preached sanctification, holiness message, the people lived the message. When the Pentecostals preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost with signs, wonders, and signs following the believers, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Those things took place among the people. Whatever is preached, happens in the people. And when the anointed of God take this word, not themselves, when the fivefold ministry takes this message and preaches this message, they are going to preach you right into a body change. When we come to church, we should not sit like this. Oh. We should sit on the edge of our seats. We should sit, as it were, on the edge of our seats, being fed the Word of God, because Brother Van said, you become the Word as you receive the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. And so this message will produce a body change. So Brother Branham said it'll take those seven unknown thunders to wake the bride and give her rapturing faith. Watch this. In the third seal, Brother Branham says this. He said, talking about revival, he said, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had no real stirring. No, sir. That's how many knows. He said, don't think we've got revivals. We haven't. And listen, he's saying this after the greatest healing revival that has ever been on earth, had struck the earth, had come and gone. He said, don't say we've had revivals. We haven't. But he's getting at something. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. That's what he's talking about. We haven't. We've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but no revival anywhere. No. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. We're looking for it. The Lord is just beginning to open the seals. This is in the third seal. We are looking for it. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Amen. I believe in this. He says this in the first seal. I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Hallelujah. That's our revival, my friend. Hallelujah. People, you know, the devil is anointing preachers. I hope it's all right, Brother Derek. The devil is now anointing preachers to tell people that they're still waiting for the seven thunders to be revealed. Amen. And it's not time, because he said the seven thunders would wake the bride. It's not time to wake up yet. I'll tell you when it's time to wake up. In other words, 99. Sleep on, sleeping virgin. It's not time. It's not time yet. Just sleep on. Is that what the prophet said? The prophet said the opposite. Rise! Shine! Good morning! Your light has come! Hallelujah! Amen! We're not waiting for rapturing faith, my friends. We are, this present truth is producing rapturing faith. Rapturing faith is lying right in the message. That's why John was told, take the book. Eat the book, for you must prophesy again. Brother Ron and I were impressed on some of the things that Brother Derek is doing here and getting the word out among the islands and so forth. Amen. This message, you know, eat the book. If I ate this book, I hope I don't have to show that to prove this. If I ate this book, you would no longer see the book. You would only see me. The book would be in me. Take the book. That's a type. That's not the seventh angel. That's a type of John was a type of the bride, Brother Branham said, that was told, take the book. Eat the book. Why? You must prophesy again. I've said this, and I hope it's all right if I say this again. It's time that some preachers stayed home. Stop traveling. Stay home and eat the book first. Because without eating the book, they have nothing to say to the bride. Preachers can preach all about, oh, they talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, preachers can preach all about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and going back to the Pentecostal experience. But let me say this. But without preaching the revelation under the opening of the seven seals, it's like a painted fire. It has no heat in it. You ever tried warming yourself by a painted fire? You're going to have some very nice looking fires. You stand there shivering. That's what I find. Let me just show you what I mean. Brother Branham said in the latest in Church Age. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Father. Mama, that's me. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders contained in the seven seals. Then he says, it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that will literally turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Father. Not that with, so without preaching the opening of the seven seals, there is no returning back to Pentecost. It takes these divinely revealed mystery truths to literally turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Father. Excuse me for screaming, that's the only way I know how to preach. That's the bride's revival. Amen. The third pull, the opening of the word, Revelation 10, the seven thunders, is the bride's revival. Hallelujah. Nothing else will give life today. Nothing else. Many people who claim the message have actually missed what's already taken place. Looking for something in the future? Many people are looking for something in the future. Looking for something that's when it's already been fulfilled. You know what it reminds me of? Apollos. Brother Bannon called Apollos the converted lawyer. Remember that? And before he received the fullness of the word under Priscilla and Aquila. You remember that? I don't have time to turn to all these scriptures. Before he received the fullness of the word from Priscilla and Aquila, the Bible said that there was a certain Jew by the name of Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man. He had a lot of things going for him. Eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. My, he had a lot of good qualities, didn't he? Eloquent in the scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. All he knew was God sent a prophet. I'm just coasting a little bit here. All he knew is God sent a prophet. And so, what? But that was not producing the Holy Ghost. How many know the scripture there? That was not producing the Holy Ghost, because when Paul in Acts 19 came across some believers, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? What's this Holy Ghost now? We believe God sent a prophet. God had moved on That was not the present truth anymore. And don't get me wrong. Apollos had missed the very one that John the Baptist came to introduce. I wonder if that hasn't happened again. So he had missed the very one that John the Baptist had come to introduce, Christ, the anointed word of the hour. Actually, Apollos was now two steps behind. Christ had already come and gone, and the Holy and God was now manifesting his life in the believer by the Holy Ghost. See? That was the word made flesh in Priscilla and Aquila. Now let me just say this. It took somebody that had the present truth that was the word made flesh to take that word and quicken it to Apollos to show the scripture was fulfilled. You know, I believe the greatest hindrance, this is not coming out the way I expected it, but it's coming anyway. The greatest hindrance in this message today is not coming from the denomination. It's not coming from the Pope. It's coming from our own ranks. Preachers that have not recognized the opening of the Word, nor preachers that have not really got the token, preachers deciding what parts of the message are inspired and what are not inspired, pointing people to gifts. Amen. Pointing ahead to a great revival, or like Apollos pointing back just to the messenger only. The reason that people are pointed back or ahead is they have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Many people have been attracted to the messenger, but have not recognized the fulfillment of Scripture. This reminds me of Cleopas and his friends. And his friend in Luke 24. You remember the story? You've heard it many times, Brother Van quotes it. They were going to Emmaus after the resurrection. The first Easter. The first Easter had taken place. They're walking along and they're sad as they're going along, when the church should have been singing the praises of God, when they should have been worshiping God. Christ was alive from the dead. The sin question was settled. And here they go along sad. You see what it was? They had not recognized the scriptures that had already been fulfilled. And they're walking along sad as they go. And Brother Bram said the one good thing they were talking about him. He always comes when you're talking about him. But they're sad and here the stranger steps up from the woods and starts walking with them. You know, Brother Murray, I think he must have folded his hands behind his back so he wouldn't see the nail scars. He said, what's this you're talking about here? Yeah, what's this communication you have toward each other? And it's sad as you walk. And they said, oh, you must be a stranger. Haven't you heard about what happened? What just happened in Jerusalem? He said, what thing? Like as if he didn't know. Now they start preaching to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet. Now they get anointed. A prophet, mighty in word and deed. And we had hoped that it would be he that would redeem Israel. And besides this, now it's the third day since these things happened. And some of our sisters made us alarm. They said they saw a vision of angels, but we paid no attention to our sisters. And they said, and now he starts talking to them. Then he starts rebuking them. Oh, fools! And slow of heart! And you know who was he preaching to? Believers! Message believers! Fools! And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses. Oh, I wish I would have been in that Bible study. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he opened to their understanding. He opened to them the word of God. And now when he was all day long, he's opening the word, and they opened the word to them. And so now it's time they meet, they go to Emmaus, they reach their home, and he said, well, it's been good talking to you boys. He had no place to go. He didn't want to go no place.
He said, I got to go. Bye. He just wanted them to invite him in. He said, no, no, don't go. The evening shadows are falling. It's time that we saw that. The evening shadows are falling. It's time to invite him in. Invite him in. And he said, the evening shadows are falling. And so they constrained him. He didn't. He wanted to be constrained. Amen. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost more than you want the Holy Ghost. They constrained him. And then you know the rest of the story. When he was inside, he was known to them in the breaking of bread. He did something. He must have multiplied the loaves. Wow, their eyes were open. And they knew it was the Lord. Didn't they? And then they started saying, did not our hearts burn within us as he spake to us along the way, as he opened to us the scriptures? But you see, they had not recognized what had already happened. Brother Ram said, don't look for things way out in the future. I find message people looking for things way out in the future when it's already happened right in front of us. Don't look for great things in the future, like calling fire out of heaven, stop the heavens that it doesn't rain. Brother Ram said, that's not even for the bride. He said, that's for the Jews. We've already received our awakening. We've already received our shaking. Have we? Yes. Brother Bram said, people are looking for a great deliverer, looking for a Messiah. The church is hollering, revival in our time. Let me just read that to you. Glory. Recognizing your day. You know, you can make a message just out of message titles. He's talking about how they keep getting newspapers or chronicles, religious letters. Fast, pray, that's all we hear. Fast, pray. We're going to have a great breaking of the day. There's a great day going to happen. Pray. It's not too late. Why do they do that? Then he asks again. Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing there will be an awakening. They are good people. What is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. You see? But being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. Oh, it's so important to see the present truth. They haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen. They're looking for it way off in the future when it's already happened right by you. And then in the world falling apart, he's talking about how the church is crying. The church has cried the loudest. They're always crying, Messiah. We want a Messiah. Everybody wants a Messiah. America wants a Messiah. Some called Obama the Messiah. Everybody's wanting a Messiah. Watch what he says. What about the church? What kind of a Messiah is the church looking for? You, the church, has cried the loudest. What are we hollering about, Messiah? What are we hollering? Revival in our time. Back to this, back to that. Back to the other. What are we looking for to do it, he said. Because the message, his ministry, was to do that, right? So he's asking the church, what are we looking for to do it? What more do you want? What does the church want anyhow? You can tell he's getting a little bit annoyed. What does the church want anyhow? We've already got it. God gave it to us. It's his promised word for this hour. We've got the Messiah. This is him, the word. We've got the Messiah. I believe the message is the word. And the message is the Messiah. We've already got it. This is him, the word. We know what's supposed to take place in this day. We are wanting a Messiah. God gave us a Messiah, his promised word for this day. It's just waiting for someone with faith enough to anoint it and make it live again. Amen. It's a real Messiah. Sure, it's the word. Hallelujah. They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Said the church crying out, and he said, we've already got it. How many will it say amen to that? This message is the Messiah that Brother Bannon is talking about. We've already got it. It's his word. Just waiting for someone with faith enough to anoint it,
to anoint it and make that word live again. So what's the meeting waiting for? The word and the person to become one. The word and the person. The word made flesh in his bride. I'm going to wind this down by saying this. I'm contending that this message is the present truth. I'm contending that this message is the promised Messiah. Christ, the mighty angel, has come down. That was not his, that was not rapture. That was the word coming. And the seventh angel was on earth at the time of this coming. He catches the thoughts of God and delivers them to us. We, like John, take the book and eat the book. Become the word made flesh for today. Hallelujah. I'm contending that this message is the word. It's the promised Messiah. Now it's looking for someone with faith enough to anoint it and make that word live again. In the message lays the power to live above sin. In this message is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. In this message is deliverance. In this message is healing. In this message is everything that we need today. In this message will straighten up your marriage. This message will straighten up. This message will make you love your enemies. This message will take away your prejudices against racial barriers. Amen. This message is the present truth. It's just waiting for someone now. It's to take that word and anoint that, to anoint it and make that word live again. Amen. This message is the only thing that will change these vile bodies. The only thing. We're not looking for a Messiah. We're not looking for another person to rise. Many people are. We're not looking for another great ministry. This message is the word waiting for someone to anoint it with faith enough to anoint it and make that word live again. You know, it's time we took the sword of the word and put it to the heart of the enemy. It's time. Let's see. You, brother, come here. You, now you're the one. Come here. I'm finished preaching. I'm just having fun now. You know, in the days of fence, you know, fencing is not building a fence. But the sword fight. Let me just get my sword. Like I said, it's time to take this sword and put it to the heart of the enemy. You know, they go fighting. Okay, and then, okay, now you got a sword too. Yeah, right, okay. So now you try to put it to my heart, right? And then we lock hands, we lock arms, right? So now it depends on the strength of the hand, of the man that's holding the sword, as to what's going to take place. You see, he's got it toward my heart, I've got it toward his heart, and I'm pushing him down. It's time that we took the sword of the word and put it to the heart of the enemy, to the devil, and say, back up! Back up, devil, I'm a believer. Back up, I'm claiming my healing. Back up, I'm claiming my children. I'm claiming victory over this temper. I'm claiming victory in my marriage. It's time we back the devil up and say, I believe this message is the present truth. It's God's word. I believe that this will this will give me a body change. There's nothing else out there. There's no Benny Hinn's. There's no Hagen's. None of them will give you a rapture body change. It's only this message. Back up, devil. I'm coming to claim what belongs to me. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise, every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Let's worship God as we sing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. salvation.